This is Unserious.
Hey everyone, Unserious producer and co-founder Micah Vono here with Upshots, a short version of Unserious to kick off your Monday morning with one quick idea that you can put to use today. Our first Upshots guest ever is Ian Seville, a coach and founding partner at leadership and organizational development firm, The Collabic. So Ian, welcome. What are we learning today?
Micah, so nice of you to invite me here today. Thrilled to be your first ever guest. We are going to be learning about leaders who fall into a common trap when they're used to rolling up their sleeves and doing individual contributor work.
Amazing. Yeah, that topic hits home for me. I'm kind of a DIY leader that likes to take things on and do things first if I can just to help out the team.
Little did you know, you might be sabotaging your team.
Oh boy.
Which you know, it's like the best intentions, right? But the problem is if you're going and doing the work of your team, how are they going to learn to do the work? And this is a common problem, especially as a leader who was a technical expert in the work that they were doing, and then they were elevated to a management position.
Yeah.
The default is to go back to the work that they feel really competent and confident with, because you know the answers, you know the systems, you know how to skip seven steps that they haven't even figured out yet.
It's almost like you're stealing the work away from the people.
You're unintentionally stealing the work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did she get started on this idea?
So I was a art educator here in the New York City Department of Education. And one of the things that was really drilled into us in our program was the idea that you should never touch a student's artwork. And I've seen this time and again, when I would talk to students, they would be talking about their work at first, be like, this is my sculpture, this is my thing, I'm proud of it. And then as soon as the teacher intervened, well, this is our work. We've been working on this together.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. And it's this very subtle shift, but it's a really powerful one, because what's happening is you are actually removing the ability of your team to develop critical thinking skills and establish autonomy and ownership in your work.
Yeah. Like how did I get to the point of being that unconscious expert, as you say, in the first place?
Mm-hmm. You had to try, you had to experiment, and then you had to reflect on it, right?
Yeah.
The way you can get in front of this is, first, you need to take an inventory of all the work you've handed off to the team. Now, there are some leaders, right? You're still going to be doing some individual contributor work, but there's often going to be a lot of work that you're pushing to the team, so that way you can scale, you can be more efficient. Now, once you've taken a look at the totality of the work, see where you're a subject matter expert. So like, what are the parts of the job that you've really tried to scale with the team? And name the fact that you're the subject matter expert and become really conscious about that. The key here as a leader is you should be asking questions. Let them test, experiment, try, fail. Fail when you can, when it's safe. Obviously, there's certain times safety is really important, but you really want to be at a place of questioning versus problem solving.
Okay. So let me make sure I got this right. So first, a leader should take inventory of the work, what they've handed off to the team. Then of those tasks, see where they're an SME or where they've done the job that the other people should be doing, and where kind of the jobs you're taking from them, and then really shift into a place of just asking questions and consciously trying not to solve for them.
Yeah, that's right. I loved what you just said, Micah, because you're talking about that shift from unconscious to conscious. So how can you build that in to your weekly schedule? How do you create curiosity on a regular cadence with your team? It might be a meeting where you just have three curious questions that you ask on a regular basis. It could be your team check-in, where you're looking and trying to problem solve and really connect people on the team to solve each other's problems instead of you having to be the bottleneck.
Who said I'm a bottleneck? Give me the name.
It's your neck. Your neck and your head look like a bottleneck. That's unconscious. Sorry, that was my... No. The last thing I would say is that in a common pitfall, especially with delegation, is that when you're assigning complex new work, you're thinking about the work as like a single item, but really it's a series of subtasks and sub jobs that need to be done. And the person who's going to do the work is going to have varying degrees of competency on all those subtasks. So where you can map out where you need to be more directive with your language or more sort of, hey, this is how you do it step by step by step, versus where you can coach them and be curious and just do check-ins, I think it's really important, because you're one, demonstrating the fact that the within the complexity, there's a lot of different pieces to it. And then two, you're really meeting the need of your report every step of the way.
Yeah. Okay. So this all sounds well and good, but nothing ever goes to plan, right? So what are some of the pitfalls here? Like, what should we watch out for?
Yeah. The common pitfalls, I think speed is one of them. That impatience with people failing and learning can be really difficult. Your team is going to experience that too. If they don't feel like they're able to fail, they're going to be much more risk averse. And that can actually be a huge problem for, you know, creating new novel ideas for your team or creating efficiencies down the line, because they're not going to be able to take control or agency to do that type of risk taking.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So let's say I get, you know, pretty good and intentional with this process. How can I really amp it up? What are some of the pro tips that we can do to make it even more successful?
I love that question, because I think that there's the standard questions that you ask when you're getting curious, right? It's like, how did you do that? What did you do? Sort of the very, what I would call level one questions, where it's just like baseline, sort of talking about the tactical sort of step-by-step of what a person does. But when you start asking level two and level three questions, which are more sort of macro questions about thinking, you know, what themes did you notice? How could you make that more efficient? Mm-hmm. How might you do this resource constraint? Could you do this within an hour? Could you do this within 30 seconds? What would that look like? All of a sudden, you're starting to work the problem-solving brain, and they're going to start coming up with ideas that could ultimately come up with a novel solution that you never even thought of.
I love this. I really thank you for coming on and sharing this. I love the intentionality behind all of this. I think there's a lot of work that people do. They kind of just roll up their sleeves and come into a room and hope it all comes together. And I love the process behind this. Leadership is something that can be learned, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah. Well, you can connect with Ian on LinkedIn under Ian Saville, S-A-V-I-L-L-E. His company, The Collabic, is a different kind of organizational and leadership development firm. You can work with them at thecollabic.com. It's the C-O-L-L-A-B-I-C.com. Or you can catch his free daily career coaching and gaming live stream at twitch.tv/thecivilian. We'll put a link to that in the show notes so you can watch him play some games, ask some questions about professional development. And if you weren't taking notes, we've included a link to Ian's cheat sheet in the show notes and at our website, unserious.com. Just click on the podcast link to find this episode. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Micah.